welcome to another edition of the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast. I'm Robert Dutt, editor of ChannelBuzz.ca, and as usual, your host for these proceedings. Today we're joined by Sean Massey, Channel Sales Manager for StorageCraft Technology, to continue our New Year's special with site sponsors. StorageCraft had a big year in 2014, introducing new virtualization capabilities for its DR offerings and continuing its march as backup and recovery becomes a key offering for many VARs and MSPs. In our chat, Sean covers what went down in 2014 and gives us a preview of what's to come for StorageCraft in 2015, including some preliminary details on its product and channel roadmaps. So let's get right into it. Our chat with Sean Massey. Sean, thanks for taking the time today.
Thanks, Rob.
Always glad to have you on the show, and looking forward to a little bit of a look back at 2014 as we put it to bed, and a look forward to 2015. You know, 2014 was something of a milestone year at StorageCraft, was it not?
It was. You know, it began really to start with our 10th year of being in business, which is terrific, and we just concluded that. And so that's certainly something to celebrate. 10 years in the technology field is quite a long time.
Absolutely. And in terms of what you guys got out there in that 10th year, what were some of the highlights from sort of the product and the StorageCraft internal point of view?
Well, the first thing is we continue to see tremendous growth in both the MSP and in their cloud business, and that's terrific. As we look at the market, you know, I think folks are really adopting. Of course, they're adopting MSP, and that's been a trend for the last several years. But the cloud, they're actually adopting the cloud at a very nice clip. Then, in addition to that. Towards the end of the year, we launched our new virtual plugin to allow better management for virtual environments if you're using VMware or Hyper-V, and that's going to allow greater control over all your VMs, especially if you have dozens and dozens and dozens. But even if you have six, it'll streamline that management and make you work smarter and not harder.
Right on, and that's something we chatted about recently on the podcast, actually.
That is true.
Wanted to talk a little bit about, you mentioned the tremendous growth in MSP and cloud and that side of things. Do you feel we're reaching the point or have reached the point where doing backup recovery, disaster recovery, all these things that you guys are focused on, has become table stakes for the modern MSP and even the modern VAR, perhaps?
Well, I think it certainly is important. A lot of the trends that I'm seeing, I'm helping some of my partners, for instance, they have to put together the pieces, to put together their business continuity plans and disaster recovery plans, and so sometimes I have to help them get them pointed in the right direction so they can accomplish that. What I'm seeing with a lot of end user businesses, even if they're small businesses, is sometimes these larger companies, the Fortune 500 or so, if you're a supplier to one of those companies, they actually now are requiring, disaster recovery and business continuity. And the reason is, they do not want their business to be impacted by a smaller business if they end up having a disaster. And so what that has done, that is actually starting to throw, our product and what our solution, it kind of a little bit in the limelight, because people need the tools to be able to quickly recover and to be able to make sure that they verify that they can resurrect their systems even in the darkest type of event that could happen.
Right. Have there been any big kind of headline moments or watershed moments? I mean, you mentioned how enterprises are kind of driving this, but I think back to this time last year and here in the Toronto area where I'm based, we had the massive ice storm, which put a good deal of the city out of power for between one day and 8 or 9 days, depending on where you were, and that certainly got some thinking and talking done about both disaster recovery and just kind of that overall backup and sustainability strategy. Has there been anything else this year that's kind of driven or crystallized that conversation, you think?
Well, I think what we're trying to do is we're trying to give the mantra to stay vigilant and be prepared. And you know, you bring up the power outage down in the GTA. I mean that was huge, and I can't remember exactly how long the power was out, but it was a significant amount of time.
Yep.
And you know, and I've talked to partners, and I've talked to end users, and you know, a lot of times they're like, oh well, you know, if we're down, if there's a citywide power outage, well, then you know, everybody's down. Well, that might be true, except we are now a global economy. So when we're looking at, you know, different services like websites and different, you know, EDI and all these different things that customers and vendors and everyone kind of plug into, you know, that's really important. I think 2014, from a very highlighted type of events, was a fairly quiet year. You know, 2013, at the end of the year, we had the GTA outages, and we also had, what was it, in May or June of 2013, those disastrous floods in Calgary, which, you know, really, that event opened up a lot of folks' eyes. And unfortunately, there were businesses that lost everything, and they couldn't recover. And that's really the position that we're at, is we want people to be protected. We want people to be prepared. And we believe that our solution set really mirrors has a very nice fit into those type of plans and the level of preparedness that they do need to have.
All right. You talked about growth on the MSP side of things and perhaps even more so growth on the cloud side of things. The move towards managed services and the embracing of cloud, has that changed who the kind of average rank and file StorageCraft partner is? Has it expanded the type of partner that you're working with?
Well, I don't know if it has necessarily expanded. I believe actually I'm going to just kind of give you a little hint. Some of our new product releases that we'll be doing in the first half of 2015 actually will position us to maybe expand into more of a mid-market and maybe even possibly into an enterprise range. But at this point in time, you know, with this move to managed service, hasn't necessarily expanded. However, what we are seeing is that the folks that are doing just break fix and break fix only, you know, the old traditional VAR,
yep,
they're having a struggle. And what we're seeing is if you're just doing a break fix, it ends up being a harder time because the movement has been going on for years, but the movement now has really picked up momentum for the whole MSP model. You know, that said, I've also seen quite a few larger MSPs absorbing smaller MSPs. So that is kind of an interesting thing that's happening too, as we see some consolidation in the partner base itself. Not a lot of consolidation, but certainly enough that I would make note of it.
Yeah, and I think it's something to keep an eye on, too. I believe I've heard, I might be incorrect on this, but I believe it was CompTIA numbers that suggested that there's a massive number. I think it might have been around 40% of the kind of, we'll call it the old school VAR market where management will be looking to exit in the not too distant future. And I mean, that makes sense when you think of the age of these organizations and the age of their founders, owners, operators, presidents at this point in time. So I think the industry is going to face some significant change in that regard as well.
Well, I think part of it is, and now we're just talking about MSP for a second, which is fine, but mm-hmm. part of it is a different mindset. Mm-hmm. And the hardest part, when I used to work for a VAR / MSP, and I was the director of the MSP program, the hard part for me, you know, converting our mentality from the break-fix model or from the VAR model to the MSP model, it's a different mindset. what we're trying to do is be proactive. We're trying to do, you know, all the maintenance as it needs to occur. We're in the VAR model. You're waiting for something bad to happen. Not bad, but you're waiting for something to break.
Right.
And then you send somebody out. And so the difference is, especially like to the engineers, when I would send out an engineer to one of my MSP customers, I would encourage them not just to fix the problem that they're going out, but to go and look around and find other things that could be potentially a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, and that was a shift for them because they wanted to be as efficient as possible because before it was billable. Well, now under the subscription basis, it's already been paid. It's already been billed.
Yeah.
But what we want to do is we want to look around and say, hey, you know, what other gotchas do we have here? Check the backups. Make sure that they work. Make sure that you can resurrect it. You know, spend a little bit of time of going through all of that. So I think, yeah, I think that's more than just a trend, but it's, you know, I think some of these VARs are looking at their end game, so to speak, as you had mentioned.
It's a dramatic shift, isn't it, in mindset from sitting by the phone hoping for the phone call for the next truck roll to doing anything you can to avoid having to take that next truck roll because it's a cost rather than profit center. I've heard it said by a few MSPs that backup and disaster recovery and that whole area that you are in is kind of or was for them kind of a great first step into managed services. And then as they're looking back on a journey that they've already gone a little bit further along. Is that still the case? Do you still see backup and DR as a good way to kind of start to dip your toe into it, to get your head in it for those who might be a little bit behind the game in terms of moving to a more annuity model and managed services?
I believe so. And actually, I have several dozen partners that is their model for going out. That's their hook for getting customers. And they'll say, hey, we have a disaster recovery as a service. And you might be working with another vendor or whatever, but this is what we focus in on, is being able to recover your systems in the midst of a disaster. Can we show you what we can do? And it gives you a nice story as far as getting a foothold in. But the other thing, and we've chatted about this before and podcasts and also in our videos, but the other thing that we're looking at is a lot of end user businesses still, their leadership or their ownership still have a hard time believing that a disaster can happen to them. And it's not that these solution providers are going out and trying to scare just to scare. But what they've become is very good experts in disaster recovery, and to be able to position and be able to convince. And the best part about it is that, you know, it doesn't have to have a large dollar ticket item associated with it anymore. And actually, disaster recovery can be very affordable. In fact, it is very affordable. To a point where everyone should be considering it. And so these VARs and MSPs are going out, and they've, you know, made themselves, they've become experts in that field. And, you know, using our suite of products and being able to go in, they can go and make a very convincing argument to these end user businesses.
All right. To date, how is cloud impacted StorageCraft, and where do you see that trend going in the next year?
Well, I think cloud will continually to be adopted. You know, when I hear my mother throwing the term cloud around, that always makes me chuckle a little bit. But I think, you know, as it gets its foothold, I think it's going to continue to grow. And it's going to also to improve. And I think what we're going to see is probably a more sophisticated cloud in the future, and not just for backup and recovery, but for all lines and services that would be delivered from the cloud. So I think that's going to be very integral to our StorageCraft business model or in our business plan, because what we want to do is be all things to whatever our partners need. If they need the cloud, we've got it, and it's robust, and we can do a lot of things with it. But we also have the tools if the solution provider uses their own cloud. So when you look at, you know, our cloud versus all of the different private clouds that these solution providers are using, you know, it ends up being a pretty big thing across the board. So I see nothing but growth, and probably maybe even staggering growth for the cloud as it continues to be adopted. You know, in Canada, we have a Canadian cloud presence. The data never goes over the border. It all stays in Canada, and it allows really for people to have a good sense of mind, a recoverability type of solution that they can test and they can get their hands on it, and ultimately to protect them from really losing their business if they were to have a disaster.
Can you give me a feel for where the balance is between partners who choose to roll up their own cloud environment versus those who choose to leverage StorageCraft's cloud?
Well, it's interesting, and it kind of goes back. It's in flux, I think.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the larger solution providers, the largest MSPs, when they have the expertise and the time. Because what they need to do is they need to be able to get the equipment. They need to get a location, probably a co-location somewhere, and actually architect it to a point where they're able to do it. Now, what's kind of interesting is folks sometimes think, oh, you know what, we'll build our own cloud because it's going to be more inexpensive for us. And that might be true if you're just looking at the cost of the cloud, but when you actually put in and you account for all the time of architecting it and maintaining it and making sure all the patches and all that kind of stuff is, you know, it ends up being sometimes a lot better to use a cloud like StorageCraft's cloud, because we're doing all of that for the partner to be able to do that. So I've had, probably my mid-level to larger solution providers, MSPs or whatever, you know, not all of them, but that have said, oh, we want to build our own, we want to control everything, and that's terrific, and we will support them in any way possible. But I've had a bunch of them that have said, you know what, the cost of having to refresh all the equipment every 3 to 5 years and to be able to have to manage it and watch the security patches and all of that type of stuff, it ends up being a business decision for them to outsource that to us, and that ends up being a win-win for everyone.
All right. Moving to looking forward a little bit, what can we expect from StorageCraft in 2015? As much as you can tell me at this point, without getting your knuckles wrapped, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I don't like my knuckles wrapped, so I'll kind of keep this at a high level. But I think what you're going to see from StorageCraft is continued innovation. We are looking at, and we are. Very carefully monitoring the pulse of the channel and our partners, and we listen. Sometimes it's kind of interesting when you look at, you know, as we completed our 10th year at StorageCraft, in the very beginning, you know, we really relied on the creativity and the talent of our developers. Mm-hmm. As far as our product set and our features and stuff like that, which was terrific because that got us off the ground. But there has been a paradigm shift in the last 5 years where that's not good enough anymore. And we have very talented engineers and we have very creative developers. I mean, I'm not taking a dig at them at all, but we have turned into a company that is listening to their partners, a company that we rely on the partners and the end user, our users, to determine what ends up being on our roadmap. And so, and if you talk to any of our product managers, I know, Rob, you've met Matt Ernston. He's our chief evangelist. You know, he will say, you know, we don't want to stifle any creativity of what the developers can do. However, it makes no sense to develop this really cool feature that has no use out in the field. So when we look at our 2015, we've got some really neat things that is going to extend the capability, extend the management for especially the MSPs, but even large environments, you know, perhaps even looking at not just Windows being able to be backed up and recovered. So that can be kind of a neat thing. But we will be constantly innovating, and we'll be putting out some products that actually our partners have been asking for, and we've listened, and we're trying to develop that roadmap in order to meet their needs.
All right. Look forward to seeing that come out in more detail as it does. Any major industry trends or other forces you see kind of shaping your business and your partner's business vis-a-vis backup and DR?
You know, I think cloud is going to have an impact on us and also our partners for a while. And I'm not just talking about like the cloud, the backup and recovery type of cloud, although that's our big chunk of that. I'm seeing a lot of really the ultra small business with, you know, the one server, two server operations actually outsourcing their technology to the cloud, whether it's you know, Microsoft Office 365 or something else. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be interesting to see how that takes shape over the next year or two. And because I think that seems to be a shift. However, that said, a lot of, you know, folks that have, you know, more than just the 5 employees or 10 employees, when they start getting up a little bit more, you know, then it gets a little bit more, you know, the question is, all right, well, how does this work and does it really make sense and stuff like that? So I think that there's still some questions on where is the cloud application. Where does that play at? Is that just the ultra small, or is that a little bit into the upper level of the small business, or into the medium size? And that's going to be interesting to watch and follow. It actually be kind of exciting.
All right, great. Any parting shots for the Canadian channel community as we wrap this thing up right now?
Well, we love the Canadian channel, and they are really very important to us, and hopefully we're important to them. And we certainly, as we end 2014, on behalf of everyone at StorageCraft, hope you have a wonderful, wonderful holiday, and look forward to serving you in 2015.
All right. Thanks so much again for coming on and for being a friend of the show. And all the best to you and yours for the beginning of 2015 and beyond.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you.
So there you have it, another busy year in the DR space. I'd like to thank Sean for joining us for the podcast, and of course, thanks StorageCraft for their sponsorship of the site in 2014. And it goes without saying, thank you for listening, because without you, we'd just be talking to ourselves, and that, I'm told, is not a good thing. Hey, we'll be back for another podcast later this week. The New Year's series continues as we walk through what was a bustling, acquisition-failed 2014 with Lenovo Canada Channel Chief Stefan Bockhoff, get his preview of what's to come in 2015. But until then, I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca, and I'll see you around the channel.